Please put your hands together and welcome somebody. Give the Lord a shout. Take a minute and welcome one or two people before you are seated in heavenly places. We are standing here because you made a way.
You make a way.
Interesting times. These are prophetic times in the life of humanity. Lots of scriptures are being fulfilled. Prophecies are coming to pass. If you look at some of the scriptures, like Daniel 11, you see a lot of events in the Middle East that are happening today was prophesied, and they are all being fulfilled. For whatever reason, the church has been veiled, not to see. Jesus said, eyes have they, but they see not. Ears have they, but they hear not. I pray that we will not be veiled, that you and I will not be blinded, but we will have light, we will have illumination. Say amen. As we journey and we stay on these scriptures, to bring illumination about the signs of the end times and prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled and that which is fulfilled, I just want to bring back to our remembrance some of these very powerful scriptures that we ignore and preach everything else but this particular counsel of God that is so necessary in the times we live in. Remember those of you who want to come with me to Israel, taking some few people with me on the 20th of March to Israel. And we'll be taking you to the rear place of baptism where Jesus was baptized and some holy spots. Also remember that in God there is nothing like time. God is eternal and he lives in eternity. And to God, yesterday, today and tomorrow is the same. And so when God visits a place, it's not like he visited the place 2,000 years ago. To him, he visited a place today. And when God touches a place or steps in a place, he leaves a divine residue there. And something always happens. Amen? You can't go to some of those holy spots, come back and be the same. It just can't happen. Anytime I've been there and I've returned, it's something new and fresh oil. So remember to register if you want to go to Israel on this holy trip. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 1 to 12. We want to look at some parallels, examples that Jesus gave in light of the times we live in and the events of the end time before the rapture and before the second coming. Amen. Matthew 25,
I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom.
Underline the word shall be likened, shall be like. And underline the word 10 virgins, and virgins here stands for saints. It stands for believers, you and I. There were 10 saints, 10 believers, 10 born again. 5 were left behind and 5 made it. And that is the reason why I'm preaching to you and to myself. Because none of us are above scripture. The Bible said he has exalted his word even above himself and his name. So nobody is above scripture. So as I preach to you, I'm preaching to myself. Because none of us are above scripture. No prophet, no apostle, no bishop, no archbishop, no teacher, no evangelist. It doesn't matter who you are. We are all subject to the word of God. So I'm preaching to myself as I preach to you. Say, I hear you. Please go ahead.
Now, five of them were wise and five were foolish.
On the line, five were wise and five were foolish. There will be wise people among us and there will be unwise people among us. It is what it is. And it will happen. And that's why Jesus said it. And my assignment is to remind all of us that there is a possibility you can be born again, be in the church, and be a believer, tithe and give and live right and miss it if you are not reminded that there is a possibility you can miss it. Go ahead.
Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him."
Behold, at midnight. That is an element of surprise. Everybody say, an element of surprise. That is the reason why I have to remind you and remind myself. There is an element of surprise. Go ahead.
Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you."
Hey! Turn to someone and say, hey! One more time, say, hey! He said to the other five virgins, "I don't know you." We have two preachers in the house. But there's only one preacher because I have the microphone. Hallelujah. You know, so there is a possibility you can be a virgin and be left behind. So don't be too sure. The Bible says, "Let him that think he stands take heed lest he falls." So you can be a virgin and be left behind. And that's why I'm reminding you, don't be too sure about yourself. And don't be too familiar with God. And don't let your knowledge of scripture puff you up and cause you to be spiritually arrogant and haughty and proud. Be humble. For if the Lord shall count iniquity, who shall stand? None. So take it easy. I know you've been in the Lord for years. I've been preaching for 40 years. And I'm still discovering truth every day. And I'm still preaching to myself. As I'm preaching to you, I'm also preaching to myself. Because none of us are above the word of God. Somebody say, I hear you. So five virgins, believers, were left behind because they were unwise. One of the things Jesus said when it comes to happiness, many shall come and say, "But we perform miracles in your name. We raise the dead in your name. Wonders. We did great and mighty deeds in your name." And he will say, "I know you not. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." What does it mean? It means that you can use the name of Jesus. And you can use the gifts of God without having Jesus in you. Because you see, I keep explaining that if you take my car key and go to the car park and use my key, the engine will respond. And the car will not say, "You are not my owner. You are a thief. Thief, thief, jewelop, jewelop, jewelop." The car won't say anything. The car will respond to the key. In the spirit, the name of Jesus is a key. And when you call upon the name of Jesus, things happen. you are a thief, or you are legit, is another matter. But the car will respond. And you can take the car anywhere you want to take it to, or arrest it. So there are people who will use the name of Jesus for business. There are churches. There are people doing great and mighty works, performing miracles. We call it lying wonders. I've been preaching for 40 years. I know a lot. People use the name of the Lord. Today, church has become a merchandise. I tell my pastors all the time and my bishop, I say, listen, church is not what it was 40 years ago. Now it has become merchandise, a business. People are running churches like organization, merchandise, systems. Using all kinds of systems to run churches. People would take people's name and data base and your birthday, they'll send you a gift, send you an email. They have the birthday of your children, everything. They say, oh, these people, they really care. They remembered my birthday. They're the birthday of my husband, the birthday of my children. It is all good. But if the motive is using PR methods in order to win people, your work will be tested by fire. You can run a church and fill the whole stadium and fill a whole city. It's a matter of time. Why you did it, your motive for which you did it, will be tested by fire. I'm telling you. So it's not just running a church and having a crowd and having money, but how you got the money. What you did to get the money. Did you exploit the people? Were the people exploited? Did you manipulate them? What means, what manner did you use to acquire the money? How, what method do you use to get the crowd? And you can say, I'm using the name of Jesus. Ask for the name of Jesus. If you use it, demons will obey. So that's not the issue. You can use his name and get results. But whether you were authorized to use that name of Jesus and whether you had the right to use the name or not, it's another matter. So use it, get results, but the result will be tested by fire on that day. So don't be confused. He said, but in your name we raise the dead. Can you believe? Somebody raises the dead. You must be very powerful. But Jesus said, my name is a key. The car will respond. And you can move the car. You can take the car anywhere. But it's a matter of time. The real owner will get hold of his car. You'll be arrested. You go to jail. So don't be fooled. Don't be fooled and deceived. When you see, I'm not impressed by so many things. Crowd don't impress me. I've seen crowd. I've seen gatherings. They don't impress me. And I'm not impressed by money. I'm not impressed by success. Because people are using all kinds of methods to get money. There are even pastors and churches. They go to Mami Water for power. I'm telling you, there are prophets, teachers. They go to places to collect power. To do things. Lying wonders. They're performing miracles. They are doing things and people are following them. And they are twisting scriptures. They are twisting scriptures. And people can't see through because they are blinded. You can't blame people too because we are not preaching the word as we ought to preach it. We've stopped preaching some things. We are just preaching what makes people happy. Itching ears. There's a generation of people, they want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the sound doctrines anymore. And when you preach sound doctrines, you don't get the response you want. So we'll have to preach what everybody is preaching. I've learned over the years to keep preaching what I was called to preach, no matter what. I'm telling you because you can be deceived. The Bible says, unless the days are cut short, even the very elect will be deceived. The elect will be deceived. The level of deception in this end time is unbelievable. And it's right within the church. There are even pastors of this church that after church will meet people at the car park. And we say, oh, the head office is too big. Nobody recognize you here. Come to our branch. It's the same action. Come to our branch. We'll recognize you. We'll give you position. If you are growing your branch by that kind of mischief, you have already failed. And it doesn't matter how much your branch grows. Me, as your papa, I will never step foot at that branch. Even though it's one of my churches, I won't come there. Because you are building by mischief, not by sincerity and not by honest. And the Bible, honesty, the Bible says, he that builds by mischief shall diminish, but he that builds by truth shall flourish. It's a matter of time. Turn to somebody and say, it's a matter of time. Don't be deceived. Don't let people fool you because they give you prophecy and the prophecy is accurate and they say things and it's true. Let me tell you something. There is what we call familiar spirits. The wise men who saw the star of Jesus and came to Bethlehem of Judea, they were not Christians. They were astrologers. Stargazers. So don't be fooled because people can see. And what they say comes to pass does not make them true prophets. You must examine the source. You must check the source. What spirit are they working with? A car is a car. Whether it's Benz or Volvo or Volkswagen or whatever, a car is a car. And when you sit in it, it will move you. Spirits, the realms of the spirit is the realm of the spirit. And there are different spirits, different vehicles. Spirits are vehicles. So you can operate by any kind of vehicle and you must check the vehicle you are using. You know, I know a lot of people who call themselves prophets, false teachers, apostles. They've given me all kinds of words and things. And I know the source is not, because some of them I'll tell them that what you have said is accurate, but the source is not the Holy Spirit. And I tell them why. I asked somebody, I said, tell me when your prophetic gift started. And the person said, as for my gift, I was born with it. And I said, eh. He said, the thing started from my mother's womb. And when I came, I started with this gift for my childhood. I will see things and they will come to pass. And I said, then it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not. It's not the Holy Ghost. Because you see, you cannot possess any of the gifts of the Spirit or the manifestations of the Spirit until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And all of us, our mothers conceive us in sin. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And that's why we don't baptize babies. Because babies have not sinned and they don't repent of anything. So how do you baptize a baby? You allow them to come of age and to make a decision. Whether they are following Christ or something else. But watch this. It is after you are baptized in the Holy Spirit that you can possess any of the manifestations of the Spirit, whether the vocal gifts, prophecy, tongues and interpretation, or the revelational gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, or the power gifts, gifts of healing, the gift of faith, workings of miracles. None of those giftings can operate in the life of any believer until you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost in your mother's womb. You are not John the Baptist and you are not Jesus. Even Jesus, the Spirit had to come on him at the age of 30 years in the Jordan. Are you hearing me? So when I hear people say, me, I was born with a gift. I came with a gift. It's a familiar spirit. Even though what you are saying is true and it comes to pass, it is not the Holy Spirit. So I question the gift. And I refuse to comply. Somebody had a revelation about one of my sisters. She's here years ago, a prophetess at the Port Residential area, and came and told me that he has had this revelation about one of my sisters, and until I fast for 3 days and pray for her, she will die. And I ate for 3 days. I'm not going to let a familiar spirit guide me. I rebuke that spirit of death. Now, listen, what she said was true. She saw right, but the source was not God. So I rebuke what she said, but I didn't follow the instruction. Because if I follow the instruction, then I come under the spell and the power of that spirit. So I will not ignore what you said. I will deal with what you said because it is dangerous to ignore the voice of the enemy. So I will deal with what you said, but I won't follow the instructions that comes with what you said. Because the Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So there are many voices out there, and you have to be very careful of what voice you listen to. And I know there are a lot of people who sit in the platform here, I don't know if some of them are here, who go around calling themselves prophet and meet you at the car park and prophesy to you. Be very, very careful. Be very careful. Just because you see somebody around me, don't make them a prophet. Because they sit on the platform, don't make them a prophet. I know who is a prophet and who is not a prophet. And it looks like because if you're a prophet, it's a very easy thing because you don't have to preach the word, you don't have to teach, you don't have to study, and it's all the spirit said that people follow. Everybody is a prophet. Everybody is a prophet. Bunch of shagalelis. Everybody is a prophet. Everybody is a teacher. Everybody is an apostle. And people follow. Tell somebody, careful. You got to try every spirit. And you have right to also judge prophecy. Just because somebody prophesy doesn't mean that the person must be feared. The Bible gives you and I the right. The Bible says, let one prophesy and let the others judge the prophecy. And you judge the prophecy by scripture. Because every prophecy must be subject to scripture. See, I hear you. On Wednesday, when we do Bible studies, we'll be dealing with false teachers, false apostles, false prophets, and deception of the end times. These are things that must be addressed. Come with me to Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to the 30th verse, please. Luke 17, 26 to the 30th verse.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man.
Please turn to somebody and say, these are the days of the Son of Man. Can you say it like me? Say it with some passion. Say it with an attitude. Say, these are the days of the Son of Man. Go ahead.
They ate. They drank.
Stop. Are we eating? Are we drinking? And we are not just drinking water. We are drinking some other things. I don't know what you are drinking, but you are drinking something. They ate and they drank. We are also eating and we are drinking. Business as usual. Same patterns. Same parallels. Go ahead.
They married wives.
Are we marrying? How many are married here? Give me a wave offering. Let me see how many are married here. We are married. And those who are not married, I release your marriage in the name of Jesus. Did you hear the amen? All right. It's serious. Everybody wants to marry before Jesus comes. Some people are binding Jesus from coming because they are not yet married. That prayer won't work. He will come. He's unbindable. Go ahead.
They were given in marriage.
They were given in marriage. Are we doing that? Go ahead.
Until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all.
Now underline the word, the flood came and destroyed them all. Some people think that God is God of love, mercy and grace. So he won't destroy all. You are joking. The same God of love is also a God of judgment. And the time comes when the door of mercy and grace will be shut. And after that, he moves and removes his heart and will wear the hat of judgment. Because the season and the time of mercy is sharp. A day will come when it will be too late to repent, where there will be no preachers to preach anymore, where the Holy Ghost will be gone, so there will be no conviction of sin, judgment, and of righteousness anymore. And everybody is allowed to do whatever they want to do. And on that day, the book of Revelation says, let him that is holy be holy still, and let him that is unrighteous be unrighteous still. For I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And I shall reward every man as his work shall be. I shall reward good, and I shall reward evil. Psalm 91 verse 8, he said, God will reward the wicked. Yeah. He said, only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked. So God will not just reward good, he will also reward those who do wickedness and those who do evil. So people who think they have power, they have access, they have money, so they can fool around, do anything they want to do, fight the church, use the name of the Lord in vain, use their influence and who they know and access to fight the church, to fight the true servants of God and oppose the work of God. Forget you, forget it. You are joking. You are joking. It's a matter of time. You will be rewarded. You will get your reward equally. As God will reward the righteous, he will also reward the wicked. And when God comes to town, two things happen. He will reward the righteous, he will reward the wicked. Nobody is exempted. So you have to take your time. And that's why for me, I treat people as people. Simple. I've learned to treat people as people. Because you never know who you will need in this life. And I pity people when they have power, position, and access, and they think they have arrived, and they use it. They use power. They use position. They use influence to threaten other people, despise people, mishandle people. Hey! You are joking. You are joking. Time changes. I've seen people that were very powerful in this country. Very, very powerful. And they were untouchable. And the day came, I was called to the hospital. And they were lying there. Can't talk. And their cars packed in their garages. Millions of dollars in their bank account. Can't save them. And their family surrounding them on the bed crying. And their money can't save them. And they hold to my hand tight and they won't let my hand loose. And their houses abroad and their foreign bank accounts can't save them. And all their pride and their arrogance and haughtiness can't save them. And I saw them pass away. I left. And before I got to my heart, the call, they are gone. And I passed by some of their houses. And it's dark and empty. And nobody is there. But once upon a time, those were homes that people would be packed there. Cars would be packed day and night. Seeking access and power and favor. And suddenly, they disappeared from the face of the earth. And they were not. And somebody who didn't work and who didn't sweat enjoys the fruit of their labor. That is an error. And that is also a reward. It's a reward of people who, when they come into wealth, into power, and have access and favor, don't treat human beings as human beings. And think that it is the end of the world and they have arrived. You are joking. You can lose your position. Hey, I have seen people in positions of power in this country. I've been preaching for 40 years from 1976. And I've seen people in power in this country who were so powerful, untouchable, and suddenly I had a call. They've been fired, removed from office. Please. Tell somebody and say, please, take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy because time changes. Mini animal, embrace it, sir. So whenever you are blessed and you are favored, help the church. Tell somebody, help the church. That's why don't fight the church. Don't fight the servants of God. Don't use your influence and your money to oppose and fight us. Saving the flock, scattering. We are gathering and you are scattering. What are you trying to prove? It's a matter of time. Some of you, you use what God has given you to help the church, to fight the church. It's a matter of time. Even what you have shall be taken from you and given to another. That is God. Go ahead.
Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot.
Another scripture. First was Noah. Second was Lot. Look at it.
They ate.
Are we eating? Same parallel. We are eating. Like those days. And in the days of Noah, it had never rained before. God blessed the earth with dew. There was no rain. So they couldn't perceive. They couldn't comprehend. The idea that it will rain and the earth will be destroyed by flood. They couldn't catch it. And for 120 years, nobody believed him. Somebody called me last week and said, hey, Papa, we've heard that now you are end time prophet. And I said, call me any name you want to call me. End time, first time, whatever. Call me any name. But I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. Amen. Go ahead. They were eating.
They ate. They drank.
They ate. They drank.
They bought.
They bought. Are we buying? We are buying things. The women are buying all kinds of hair from India. The women are buying shoes, perfumes, watches, shoes. Years ago, I was with some of my board members. We were in Philadelphia. And all the women had gone for shopping. I was looking for them for prayer. And they said they were gone for shopping. Came back with a lot of shoes. And I said, why? When souls are dying, you are buying shoes. So I said, everybody lift up your hands. Let me rebuke the demon of shoes. And they said, Papa, 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 pray for something else. We don't want deliverance from shoes. I said, wow. We are buying shoes. We are buying cars. I don't say you shouldn't buy shoes, though. And I'm not saying you shouldn't buy cars. But I'm just telling you, it happened before, and it's happening again. And some people miss it, and some will miss it. Go ahead.
They sold.
Are we selling? We are selling all kinds of things. Even in church, after service, at the car park, people bring things in their cars and they are selling. We are selling bags. Selling materials. Oh, we are selling. We are selling. Oh, we are selling. Do this. We are selling. We are selling things. Go ahead.
They planted.
We are planting. Tell somebody, we are planting. And me, I'm planting tomatoes, pepper, onions. I'm planting. We're planting. We are fulfilling scripture, Quran. We are fulfilling scripture. You don't know, we are fulfilling scripture. We are planting. As soon as you plant, no, you are fulfilling scripture. Go ahead.
They built.
We are building. I'm building. Children's Sunday School, you church. Have you seen the buildings? We are building. Prayer Mountain, we are building. Orphanage, we are building. Drug Rehab Center, we are building. Safe House of pregnant girls, to save them from embarrassment and things. Have their babies, leave them and go back to school after. We are building. We are building. I say we are what? We are building. We are building. Do this. We are building. We are building. We are fulfilling scripture. You think you've come into money and you are buying. No. You are fulfilling scripture without knowing it. We are buying lands. We are building. Dedicating buildings. Oh, dedicating cars. Private jets. It's good. It's good. But we are fulfilling scripture without knowing. I'm reminding you. Anytime you build, you are fulfilling scripture. We are building.